This evening's reading is a very familiar one. It's the one about the wise and the foolish virgins. And we listen with an openness to the Spirit who may speak to each one of us in something very different way. This from the Gospel of Matthew. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them began to get drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a shout, "Look, here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him." Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise replied, "There will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves." And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, "Lord, open to us." But he replied, "Truly, I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." The Gospel of the Lord. I think I speak for all of us when I reflect on this gospel and say that it's very unfair. That, you know, why didn't the wise ones share their oil with the other ones? And everybody would have been happy. I know as a child I never understood this. And even as an adult, I still have a little question about the whole story. But it's very interesting that this parable, as most of the parables, seem to be somehow a reflection of everyday life. Like the stories of the prodigal son, the story of the good Samaritan, those parables really reflect the culture of Jesus' time. This one, even more so. It sounds strange to us because you don't plan a wedding and everybody sits around for a while and waits, etc. However, I want to read to you, this is an account of a professor from Scotland who traveled to Palestine, and one of his experiences was when he was there. This is just about 40 years ago, so it's in the 20th century. He tells of what he himself saw in Palestine, and this is a quote. "When we were approaching the gates of a Galilean town, I caught sight of 10 maidens gaily clad and playing some kind of musical instruments as they danced along the road in front of our car. When I asked what they were doing, the guide told me that they were going to keep the bride company till her bridegroom arrived. I asked him if there was any chance of seeing the wedding. But he shook his head, saying, in effect, 'It might be tonight, or tomorrow night, or in a fortnight's time. Nobody ever knows for certain.' And then he went on to explain that one of the great things to do, if you could, at a middle-class wedding in Palestine was to catch the bridal party napping. And so the bridegroom comes unexpectedly, and sometimes in the middle of the night. It is true that he is required by public opinion to send a man along ahead of him to shout, 'Behold, the bridegroom is coming.' But that may happen at any time, and so the bridal party have to be ready to go out into the streets at any time to meet him, whenever he chooses to come. Other important points are that no one is allowed on the streets after dark without a lighted lamp, and the door has been shut. Once the bridegroom has arrived, the door is shut. Latecomers to the ceremony are not admitted." And there, the whole drama of Jesus' parable is reenacted in the 20th century. And I found that very interesting because I always thought this was a made-up kind of thing. It's a cultural thing. And that being true, what is Jesus talking about? Well, obviously, he's taking almost a direct example from everyday life in Palestine to say something much more profound, and that's where we always go. In chapter 25 of Matthew's gospel, Jesus is preparing us for his being taken away, and we have what we call the apocryphal readings. the apocalyptic readings, I'm sorry, the apocalyptic readings, which talk about the end of days. We had the beginning of that last Sunday. In the next couple of Sundays, and even into Advent, we will hear these kinds of tones that say basically the great belief that the Jews have and that we have built ourselves on is that God is going to return. God is going to draw near to us and, in their minds, curse the day because it's going to be a day of wrath and judgment, and it's going to be an awful experience. Jesus, on the other hand, says something much more than that. But going with that, it's very important for us to remember that what Jesus is talking about is, first of all, to be prepared. And being prepared, like the Boy Scouts, you're ready for any event, any opportunity to live out your goal, your quest, or your oath that you've taken. And for people who believe, it's always being prepared for the possibility that God may come and be in your presence at any time. And if you're like me, looking backwards, you can say, perhaps that was God, and I missed it. I probably have missed more than I have seen in my life of God coming into my life, because God comes in the words somebody says, God speaks through people, God acts through people, God reaches into my life from people. It may be a stranger's face, it may be an unknown hand. The presence of God is always there. My job is not to do anything more than be prepared so that I can greet God in that way. That seems to be one of the quests we have, is somehow, haven't you always thought, wouldn't it be nice just to have 10 minutes with God? And in 10 minutes, get all your questions answered and find out that it's all real. Well, it's happening in front of us many times when we don't see it. Jesus is saying, be prepared. Not about the end time, about today, the moment. As we said in our prayer, in the now of every moment, that's when you are present, the now. The other thing is, it's important to recognize that in early church, there was a practice that really had people a little bit more blessed feeling than we, because it was possible for one to get into places of honor, etc., on the coattails of somebody who was much better than we, who had accomplished more, who had more power, who had more finesse. The same attitude translated into the church. So if I was close to the deacon, for example, or the deaconess who happened to be in charge of this small group, I was put into a better position, not only with the people, but in God's sight, because I was close to a person whom God had chosen to be a leader. And so there was an attitude that we could, however, if we messed up in our own life because we had a close relationship with somebody, we would be drawn into the whole experience of God. And Jesus is reminding us that everybody's got to do their own thing. You can't go in on your coattails of anybody. It's really up to you. And what that means in everybody's life is something very, very different. And that's the gospel. But there's an attitude under here. There's a couple of words, I think, that come to my mind when I read this gospel. And this is probably, it's very simple, but at the same time, I think the words carry an awful lot of weight. And the two words are, too late. You're too late. If you take those two words, you're too late, or it's too late, or whatever, too late, however you add words or phrases to it, it's not a good thing. It's somehow a recognition that I didn't get where I was supposed to be at the right time. I didn't get everything done in the right amount of time. I didn't do it in a certain right order. I didn't make the plane. I didn't make the play. I didn't make all these required meetings I'm supposed to have. Think of how many times in your life, maybe you haven't because you're always punctual, but have you ever been too late for anything? A doctor's appointment, and he's sitting there thumbing like this, where have you been? Too late is not a good experience, and too late is a reality, brothers and sisters, that so many times I know in my life I have experienced. When you find out that it's too late to fix something that went awry with someone you had contact with, or it's too late to go back and redo something that would have made the council meeting better, or too late because the idea that once was very alive and pregnant with possibilities that everyone was excited about has kind of died off and gone away. Or too late that we didn't have the opportunities created that other people might find their way here. Or too late that I didn't get involved on one level or another to allow something more important or pressing to take place. Or too late that I raised my hand because there was no more room. Or too late just because I wasn't thinking. Too late is a tough experience. And I think underneath this gospel story, there is that. And I put it in terms of our faith life. It's never too late for some things. It may be too late to fix the problems of the world. It may be too late to redo and remake history. But it's never too late to take today and make it different from yesterday. It's never too late to look at a relationship and somehow make it just a bit brighter, a little more life-giving than perhaps it was. It's never too late to open your arms to receive someone who desperately needs to know that you care. It's never too late to forgive. It's never too late to reach some kind of pinnacle in your own personal life. It's never too late to try one more time to be the person you know you are instead of the person you may become. It's never really too late for the important things. But that, I think, brothers and sisters, is what this gospel is really saying. As Jesus comes to the end of his ministry, he's basically pointing out to the disciples, it is never too late with God. No matter where you have been, no matter where you haven't been, no matter where you've been in life, no matter what has happened in your life, no matter what your sin, no matter what your evil, whatever hate you have, whatever you carry, it is never too late with God. And that's a pretty happy note to lead on, because it's never finished. The now of every moment reminds us that it is not too late. And that's the hope of being a person in Jesus. Amen.